Just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Glad you guys could be with us here today on this Lunch Rush noon feature that we do. Top stories surrounding the sports world. Let's get to this one first. Boy, this Deshaun Watson thing just continues to go down an interesting path. Deshaun Watson's suspension, the NFL and NFLPA are negotiating potential settlement as appeal looms at this point, courtesy of CBSSports.com. We know it's in the hands of former New Jersey attorney General Peter C. Harvey. He was the guy chosen by Roger Goodell to hear this whole thing out. With Harvey's deliberating looming, the NFL and the NFLPA are in active, very active settlement negotiations, according to CBS Sports NFL insider Jonathan Jones, and the result likely to allow him to take the field in 2022. How about that?
What are they settling?
I don't know. I was reading through this. When they say active settlement negotiations, it means they're on the phone like all day, talking every single day, to try to get this thing done. This is a loss, right, for everybody. I said this the other day. You're in a no-win situation because of the way you've done suspensions and stuff. But if he doesn't get a year, isn't this going to be a huge, huge blemish on the National Football League?
Oh, it'll be a black eye as long as the season goes on. And if they somehow go into the playoffs, it's going to last into that point as well.
Yeah, man, that is a rough look there. So we shall see. Deion Sanders has already made some big headlines, obviously recruiting people left and right. The head football coach at Jackson State. Well, get this. Now he's looking to bring a big name over to his coaching staff. He has called former Minnesota Vikings coach Mike Zimmer to be on his staff. How about that? Zimmer went on and said he asked me about it a few times. The pay's not good, but I do love Deion, and I'd do anything for him. So how about Deion Sanders, though? Like, what he's done with Jackson State. What are your thoughts on all this? Because he and Nick were good. Now they're not good. I don't know anymore. They were in Affleck commercials together. Now I don't think they like each other. Deion has been kind of positive in the college football world, right?
I would say so. It's good movement, obviously, for the HBCUs and all those schools and getting them more recognition. And Sanders brings in that publicity. Got the number one recruit, getting all these NIL deals, going at Saban for stuff. You're punching up, but do what you can.
Do you think Saban loosely, and I know he recovered those comments, but he loosely accused Deion of maybe Jackson State of giving over some money to get that top recruit?
Well, apparently there's no rules in the wild, wild west of NIL.
there are no rules. We're learning it more and more every single day. How about this one? I was going to save this for today in the NFL, but I got a ton of NFL stuff. Tyrod Taylor may get some first-team reps, but Daniel Jones is still quarterback number one. New York Giants coach had to say this morning, actually. Tyrod Taylor's going to get some first-team snaps throughout this whole deal. So what does that mean? In practice and stuff. Like, I get it in the preseason if you're going to do preseason stuff, but what does that mean?
Maybe your confidence in Daniel Jones is shaken. Obviously, Brian Daboll is the offensive head coach. If he doesn't see something with Jones, you got to wonder, does this guy have a career in the NFL past this year?
I think, yeah, you're right. Daboll said, he'll get, as we get going here in terms of preseason games, we'll talk about whatever we think is best. Each day we sit there and evaluate guys. But he will get a few reps here or there, no doubt, with the first team in practice. That is, that's screaming to Daniel Jones. Final story here, and I didn't hit this as hard as I wanted to yesterday. Giannis Antetokounmpo says he would be open to playing for Chicago Bulls later in his NBA career. This just reads weird to me. You know, LeBron started this whole thing, and I love Giannis. Like, his personality, obviously, his ability to play basketball. He's the guy, right? I mean, he is Milwaukee's dude. He was he's working with like a telehealth company, and he was asked, like, he was doing a PSA kind of deal on Fox 32 Chicago. So he was asked about the Bulls potentially and all of that. So he said, I think anybody you ask that question that plays basketball, if he said no, as far as ever playing for the Bulls, he'd be lying to you. So they asked him, would you ever, when free agency comes around, which is going to be years from now because he signed that deal, would you ever want to play for the Bulls? He said, anybody that asks that question and says no, you'd be a liar. It's a team that won multiple championships. It's a team that one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player to ever play this game, played for. So it's a no-brainer. Everybody would love to play for Chicago. Now, is the headline reads a lot worse. This is the whole point of this is, because I got caught in this too yesterday. Read the headline, read the story this morning fully, and it's not as bad, but the headline reads wrong. I mean, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Well, that's just, you know, sports journalism at its finest, taking one thing out of context, making it the headline, and getting lots of clicks.
Mm-hmm. But this is stupid, though.
It's interesting in the NBA. You see some of these superstar players, they win an MVP, win a title, and then they decide, maybe I could do this somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, you know, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, to name a few. Giannis could, it doesn't seem like Giannis would be that kind of guy.
It didn't seem
like,
right? Well, I always, you know, Giannis and Joker are pretty good buddies.
I know.
And I thought, well, if you're going to go anywhere, would that work? Would a Joker-Giannis thing work? Because I think when you look at the NBA, it's not as easy as plug and play. It's just, and I will give LeBron James credit for this. We all said, oh, well, you just went and joined a super team. Like it was easy. And they made it look easy. They won two titles. They went to four championships in a row. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden proved to us it's not easy. Super teams, just for the sake of being a super team, doesn't always work out. The Clippers have yet to win a title with that experiment. The Suns, right? I mean, they're really good, but I think it's harder than it looks. Would Joker and Giannis work?
It would definitely take some time. I haven't watched enough of Giannis's game to really see how it would fit with Jokic, but it'd be really tough to defend those guys.
Yeah, like, it would
be. Just put them down low and just let them play toss back and forth.
The tough part with Joker is anybody that's going to get the ball because everything that the Nuggets do centers around him. Whether he's in the paint and they start it there, or they want him to even bring the ball up, he'll get the ball at the top of the three-point line. So that's where it would get a little weird to me, because you almost take that out of his game, unless Giannis is cutting in at that point. And it would
They're
be
just switching every possession.
Every possession,
Giannis,
one,
you're
dude.
At the top. Next one, Jokic at the top.
And I think Joker's that good now, where you could put. And I'm not saying Giannis is anybody, but any type of skill set would work with the Joker.
Well, yeah, because he develops other guys around him. He will make you better. He'll get you a good pass when you're open.
I think that, do you remember, were you here in Colorado when Yusuf Nurkic was still a Nugget? And they tried the experiment of two centers?
Would have been probably my second year out here.
It was right when the Joker was coming onto the scene, too. Yusuf was supposed to be the guy. I love this story because it's just another neat story that shows the Nuggets gamble paid off. Yusuf Nurkic was supposed to be their future, their big guy. He's the center, and he was fine. He wasn't good. They weren't good yet. He was fine. The Joker starts coming along, playing well, and they experiment with, and that was Michael Malone. It might have been his first or second year. They experiment with essentially two centers. Yusuf would play center. Joker would be power forward. But it's two centers. And it didn't work. It failed miserably. And eventually they benched Yusuf and left Joker out. And that's when Yusuf started to hate his situation in Denver. And then wanted to get the trade and go to Portland. But I wonder now if that would work. Like, Joker's much better, more experienced. Nurkic is much better and more experienced, too. So I don't know. I'm curious to see. I would be curious to see if that would ever work again.
Well, yeah, the last couple of years, we've been kind of looking for that backup center that can spell Jokic when he needs to come off the court.
Yeah.
And would Nurkic be the type of guy that say, yeah, I'll come off the bench, but you don't know.
Is DeAndre Jordan that guy? Or is this just, I mean, is he better than Boogie at this stage? Boogie worked, I mean, Boogie was pretty damn good in that Golden State series, which, again, the matchup was a nightmare for Golden State. But I don't know that his attitude reflected what they wanted going forward. I think they said all the right things in the season and in the playoffs. I think Boogie wants to start somewhere still, and he's obviously not that guy.
I think Jordan's a little more consistent than Boogie. Boogie, obviously, you're going to have this guy might get a technical on any given night, just given his attitude towards the refs or the calls or whatever. But, you know, on some nights he can be that physical presence down low. He'll get you boards, get you a couple points. Jordan might get a little more consistency out of that.
I'll be curious to see if it works. You know, if you can get that. Because really, Plumlee was the best backup center we've
seen.
I mean, as far as longevity, yeah, Boogie in that series, and he had moments late in the season. But Plumlee, for the most part, was that go-to. I mean, Malone said he wanted to clone Plumlee and have like eight of those guys. You like his work ethic and his ability to play defense, but you know, he would have been nice too. The big question, though, we talked to Brendan Vogt yesterday about Michael Malone and everything, and I want to get to that. Is going to be. I think that he brings up a good one because 2 weeks ago he's talked about Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon, as much as we want to talk about Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., don't you think that if that switch clicked for Aaron Gordon in the start of the Golden State series, I'm not saying they win the series, but the Nuggets at least take one or two? Because yeah. When he started turning it on, they played much better.
No, when Gordon is on, he's on, and he's going to give you those, obviously the highlight dunks, but his defense can be very, very good. He can cut, he can shoot. You know, he's a very solid weapon when he's on. And, you know, we can go back to Murray and Porter being out. Maybe he wasn't ready to take on that much responsibility. But, you know, he's a very solid player. And if he clicks with this team, they could be very, very dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If you can really get him mentally to say, all right, I don't mind a three-pointer once in a while, but he can't live out there. And I think he got to that point where he thought that's where he needed to be. When he asserted himself and got into the paint and used his big body to move guys around and just dunk on fools, man. I mean, that is what you want to see from an Aaron Gordon. So, yeah, that's all going to be big. So we transitioned from Giannis onto Tecumbo. Could he play with the Joker to what's next for Denver? Is Michael Malone going to be the Nuggets' long-term plan? If this season doesn't go as planned, we'll talk about that later. I do have Kevin Lytle. No, he's coming up in the third hour. We will have Mark Johnson at 12:30. When we come back, let's talk about it. If the Nuggets don't get past the first round, or maybe even the second round, is it time for Denver to start shopping for a new head coach? Calvin Booth is taking things over now, and he's going to be he's making decisions. He's not afraid to make decisions. We saw that with Will Barton and Monte Morris. Is this season full of pressure for Michael Malone? 18 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's Highland Huskies Day on 13 Days, 13 Teams. Presented in part by Cutnail Builders. Highland coverage begins at 5 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Love our friends over at No Limit Collectibles. I'm in the process of clearing stuff out of my home office and my office here. Just things that, you know, sports memorabilia that was old, I'm not into anymore. And as I'm clearing stuff out, Angel, I'm like, now things are looking bare again. I mean, this is collection stuff that I've had since I was like little, like eight. So it's time. It's time to start getting the man cave up to snuff and looking great in my office and everything. I love capturing great sports moments. No Limit Collectibles will help you do that. Also, cards. I mean, my goodness, the card collection scene is so fun. And if you're into that, they're going to help you out. And I'll tell you what, you go in there, maybe you don't find exactly what you're looking for, talk to Ken. He'll set you up. He has all these connections where he's going to shows constantly, so he'll know what to look for. It is awesome what they do. All right. Keep in mind, I'm going to give away a $25 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill at the end of this segment. So just be ready. Get your fingers ready to rock and roll because we'll cover it. It's on us, Cable's Pub and Grill. How big of a year is this for Michael Malone? You've been in this upward trajectory with Malone for the last, I mean, ever since he was hired. I mean, every year he just got a little bit better. And then you finally hit this. You didn't hit the ceiling, but you plateaued. The Nuggets have plateaued. They go all the way up, and then they get to the Western Conference Finals in the bubble. That was crazy. I mean, that was like the height of Michael Malone's tenure with the Nuggets. They do the crazy come from behind wins. They were down, 3-1 in both of those series, which we can argue all day that if that was not in the bubble, would that have happened? Probably not. I'm going to say it right now because you're not dealing with home court or any of that. But either way, they went. They go into the Western Conference Finals. Since that point, they were bounced by Phoenix in the second round the year after that. I believe, yeah, because they beat Portland and then they get bounced by Phoenix. The next year, obviously, this just a couple of months ago, they lose to Golden State in the first round. Now, I know injuries. They were without Jamal Murray in both of those playoff runs because he got hurt late in the season that led them up to the Phoenix series. But when do you get to the point where you can't make any excuses of injuries and whatnot? Is this the year in your mind, Angel?
I think it is. When I think about what happened in the bubble, the expectations of us, of the Nuggets going into that, probably weren't, oh yeah, this team could compete for an NBA championship. Obviously, the bubble was so different in terms of how it was being played, and it kind of felt like we fast-forward a year with this team. And then came the injuries, and now it's, oh, we're two steps back. Everyone's back now. Can we get back to where we were in the bubble?
Do you give him a pass then these last 2 years? Do you say, okay, the Nuggets team that we know is the team that we saw in the bubble with Jamal Murray? A healthy Jamal Murray. That's the Nuggets.
That's the ceiling for this group right now.
So that's where, and that's your expectations for this team. So we're asking like, hey, well, it would be a failed season if the Rams don't do this. If I do that for the Nuggets, what is that? Is it, do they have to get to the Western Conference Finals in order for this to not be a failed season and then put Michael Malone in the hot seat?
I think so. Like, it's their high expectations, but you have a two-time MVP. You have potential superstars in Jamal Murray and Michael Porter, up-and-coming Bones Highland right now. You kind of have to get there. And I will give him some credit. Minus the injuries, you still were able to put a team into the playoffs 2 years in a row. You got the two-time MVP. You cut and scrape yourself all the way through the season, and you got there. You didn't finish it, that's credit to where it's due. But now, if you have your team healthy, you have all the players you want, you got to go do something.
And you lost to the champs, too. I mean, we want to say they got bounced in the first round and it was a bad look, but they drew Golden State at the worst time. Golden State, we all had that fear, right? That Golden State was going to coast on through, and then probably the last month of the season, Klay Thompson starts to feel a little bit better, and then they're going to be playing in peak form by the time they get in, and look what happened. Denver caught him at the wrong time with two of their studs out. Dixon texting in about Gordon. Gordon's shooting scares the bleep out of me. Even at free throw lines, you wouldn't be surprised if he airballs it. Jordan, to me, is almost the perfect big, physical, nasty guy to have backing up Joker. Well, yeah, I mean, again, Boogie was like that, too. A little more awkward, though. Jordan, I think, is Jordan more athletic? I would say Jordan's a little more athletic than Boogie, right?
I'd say so. The thing about Boogie is his temper could flare up at any second.
Jordan's is more controlled.
You're one bad decision away from ejection.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and you saw that a lot. Texter, with Murray and Porter back, Gordon won't have to shoot as much. He needs to pass that freaking thing and not shoot. That's what you hope. And that's on, I'm sorry, but what's the reason for having a head coach? To guide these players into doing what they're best at. And I do believe that that's got to be Michael Malone every day hammering it. You don't want to tell shooters not to shoot, but when Aaron Gordon's not a shooter, you need to be saying, hey, listen, dude, if you're wide open, all right, I'm not going to fight you on it, but you're better in the paint. I like the odds of you going up one on two more than I like a wide open three from you. You're going to get a foul call. He said it at the end of the season that he knows what he has to do now. And again, Nuggets fans get mad. They're like, now? Why are you just realizing this now? You need to live in the paint. He does. He has to live there. He also had, it's not easy to be a paint player with the Joker either. It's not like you can camp out and let the Joker just pass the ball, right over a defender's head unless he's, top of the key. Joker can see more. That's where the cutting has to come from. the backdoor cuts, you know, you have to utilize that a lot more, that movement. So I want to see Gordon in the paint, but also really moving around down there. That's going to be critical, and that's critical for Michael Malone. If he cannot get Aaron Gordon to play like that, to play big, then that is a failure on your coach. It's a failure on the player, too. But this is what you have a coach for, is to guide these players and put them and give them the best chance to succeed. So do we put that on Michael Malone? Gordon's a basketball player. Basketball players think they can shoot from anywhere and score from anywhere and do anything. Watch a baseball game. Everybody wants to pitch when there's a blowout. Players want to play no matter what. I do think that there was a failure. And I agree with you, though, as far as what Michael Malone did to keeping this team intact with the injuries, getting them to the playoffs. That was all well and good. I don't feel like he guided Aaron Gordon the way he – I don't think he coached him the way he should have been coached.
I can agree on that. It felt, obviously, in this last season that Malone was trying to experiment a lot with who's coming off the bench, who's going to be starting. Oh, Aaron's not feeling it. Will Barton is inconsistent. Monte Morris is wherever. Bones is still kind of learning the game. So he was kind of just – he had his hands tied, and he was trying to work with what he had, but still did what he did.
Yeah.
Now you need to go out and prove that you can be the kind of coach – we need to have.
There's a lot of pressure on this season, no question. And again, that first month or two is probably not going to blow anybody away, because I think Jamal's going to take some time. I think Porter's going to take some time. I hope not. I mean, I hope Jamal's first week back on the job, he's busting out 23, 24, and then Michael's hitting, you know, three or four or five three-pointers a game. 30 minutes after the hour, we're switching gears here for just a bit. I'm going to ask Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, get us excited. Give me reasons to be excited about this Buffs team this year. First, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, I like when my listeners hold me to stuff. Dixon, I'll do it right now. Dixon said, hey, you said you were giving away that Cables gift card at the end of the segment. I claim it now because I listen closely, unlike most hooligans that actually I actually pay attention to the nonsense that comes out of your mouth on a daily basis. Okay, let's give it I'm going to make you work. Caller 20. Caller 20 on the hotline. 970-353-1310. Stay on hold if you don't get through right away. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining me. Mark, I'll take you to Cables sometime, man. I'll hook you up with a Cables Pub and Grill gift card.
Well, I was listening to your spot there a moment ago, and I was thinking I'd like to go and eat at Cables. And by the way, I'm pretty sure in the International Code of Ethics for radio, if you don't give the gift card away in the previous segment, the guest in the following segment automatically gets it. I'm pretty sure that's the bylaw.
All right. Well, I have quite a few of them here because, believe it or not, I keep forgetting to give them away. So I'm going to hook you up. We're going to go do that at some point. Hey, I want to tell you, Mark, what you and I met and talked to like a year ago. We went to Bruce's bar. And I just got to tell you about a fun event going on. Our boy Brian Gary, one of our morning show hosts, he is competing in the Rocky Mountain Oyster Eating Contest this Saturday. So I was going to tell you about that. What's that?
Where are they holding the Rocky Mountain Oyster Eating Contest?
Is it actually in Bruce's Bar, Angel, or is it like out on the outside and, you know, whatever?
I believe it's in a park in Severance.
Okay, so Bruce is providing the food and everything, but it's going to be in a park and
there
stuff.
You go.
So are you know what?
You know how much. Yeah, you know how much I like Bruce's, and
yes.
I love the oysters over there, so that sounds like I'm just a little disappointed I didn't get asked how many to eat part of that.
How many do you think you could eat? I mean, I don't know there's a poundage amount. I'll have to ask Angel, but there is a certain amount that he's going to be asked to do. And it's always way more than you'd think. Anytime you see an eating contest, you look at the food and it's like, wow, that's way more than I thought it was going to be.
You know, way back when I was in my 20s, with the voice of the Illinois State Redbirds back then, and a local bar had a rib-eating contest. And because in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, they have Illinois State, they've got Illinois Wesleyan, which is a wonderful Division II program. So it was an offensive lineman from Illinois State, an offensive lineman from Illinois Wesleyan, and then me. And the three of us did a rib-eating contest one time. And I was probably, oh, heck, I'm trying to remember how old I would have been. Probably, I don't know, 27 years old, something like that. Anyway, maybe 30 at the very oldest. But anyway, we eat the ribs, and about 3 days later, I run into one of the offensive linemen in the weight room, and I said, hey, how'd you come out of that deal? He goes, oh, man, I was a mess for 2 days. I said, well, glad I'm. I thought maybe I was the only one. I mean, let's just put it this way. All three of us were in a small room by ourselves for the next 2 days. Put it that way, all right?
Oh, man. That's the thing. Like you're not just like a little tummy ache after an hour or something. You're like dead to the world. I've seen some of these guys days after this, and they do not look good.
Yeah. I do wonder, you know, you always have the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Yes.
So I wonder if those get the professionals. I wonder if they go and upchuck after the contest just to get rid of it.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness. I know. And it's like, it's not good. Yeah. You're not like, I love hot dogs, but I mean, you're not enjoying it at that point. So it's like, what's the dipping it in water? It's just the worst things you could be doing. So, yes, Mark, I love the eating contest. I'm excited. We're going to see Brian out there. But I was thinking of you about that because, of course, I know you're a Bruce's guy.
Well, something tells me if I was going to do that, you know, having a normal, you know, even on the large side portion of oysters and Bruce's, I would be very happy. If I had to gorge myself, I probably wouldn't be happy.
And then
I'm
curious to know, because they actually had the champ on this morning.
Yeah.
Do you go back and eat them casually now? Like, does the hot dog eating champ, does he just eat hot dogs casually, or can you not do it because it's disgusting to you?
Well, and that rib eating contest I told you, that was 20-some years ago. I still don't eat ribs to this day, so I think that would be the answer for me. Yeah.
Wow. That's okay. Remind me not to enter in a food eating contest with any of my favorite foods. Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffs. All right, Mark, give me some reasons, and we're looking at this today because we want to build the hype. We're getting excited for football season, looking forward to this, and I'm certainly paying attention to that quarterback battle going on in CU. But give our listeners reasons, you know, for hope for this Colorado team to turn things around this coming season.
Well, I'll tell you this. On Saturday, they had a scrimmage. And although I was out of town, I had a chance to go back and watch the video and then compare notes with Coach Gary Barnett afterward. And both of us came to the same conclusion, and Gary's opinion when it comes to football is much more valuable than mine. I'm honestly going to tell you that. But both of us kind of thought the same thing. This is a much better offensive football team than it was a year ago. Now, that shouldn't shock anybody, considering they were one of the worst, statistically, one of the worst offensive teams in America last year. But the offensive line gave all the quarterbacks, I think, decent protection in that ball game. I think you saw the top three guys, and I think between J.T. Shrout, Brendan Lewis, and then Owen McCowan, Josh McCowan's kid, who we've talked about a little bit, the freshman that's in there, I thought really showed some stuff. In fact, Shrout had a great, about 30-some-yard pass to tight end Brady Russell, who's a Northern Colorado kid, of course. And so I think despite the fact they lost some names to the transfer portal, there are some young wide receivers. They can have Jordan Tyson, number 16, and then Chase Sowell, who's number 15, who really are flashing out there. And so you feel good about that. I think the tight end room is pretty deep, led by Brady Russell. So I think there are some reasons. I think that defense was solid a year ago. They're certainly not going to take a step back. You hope to see improvement there. They got to grow up a little bit on the back end, I think. But that offense is, I think, going to be significantly better this year. So there is a reason to be optimistic right there.
How critical, you talk about Brady Russell, other than the great first name, how critical is he going to really be to this offense? And whoever that quarterback is, we always say, you know, a tight end or sometimes a running back, it depends, can be a quarterback's best friend. How critical is his role this year for the Buffs offense?
Well, I think, you know, I just did an interview the other day with Clay Patterson, the first-year tight end coach now for the Buffs, and I asked him kind of about the overall room, and he said, well, here's the deal. I've got Brady Russell, and he said he conducts himself like a professional. I mean, he's a veteran guy. He's done it all, seen it all, been there, knows the offense inside and out, all those kind of things. He's tough. He's got good hands. He's already made big catches in his career. He can get in there and block, and so he's just going to be a cornerstone guy. And I think Eric Olson, I think Austin Smith, some of the younger tight ends, you're going to see those guys quite a bit. I'm hoping to see I'm thinking of a spotter, Christian Fourier. The younger Fourier is number 18, is on this team, and is coming off of injury, and I think they're hoping for him to do some things. And so there are some guys in there I think are going to be a big part of this offense. And I think under Mike Sanford, if you look what he's done, the tight end position has always been extremely important in his offensive systems at his previous stops. So I think there's reason to believe that Brady Russell could have a real nice year for the Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. As you said, a Northern Colorado guy, just a great dude. We got to try to get him on the show. I'm actually going to be down not really your neck of the woods, Mark, but I am going to stop by that Front Range huddle next week. Are you planning to be there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got to do my annual in-person shot with Brady Hull. You know?
Well, I was going to say, we're 3 hours now, so I need some help, man. I need somebody to carry that thing for a while. But I'm guessing you read your friends up north are not attending. Colorado State's not going to be making the trip down.
I did see that. They, from what I understood, they already had some appointments planned in the metro area, I guess.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be there. That's disappointing because it's the one opportunity we always get to get everybody together and, you know, get a chance to, you know, have some quick conversations with, you know, some of the other schools from my standpoint. So that's disappointing you're not going to be there, but, you know, hey, we understand.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. I absolutely love getting, I mean, it's just a central spot to just get all these coaches in, build some excitement around everybody, and
yep.
It should be a lot. And, maybe some tension this time because in a few weeks, CU's going to play Air Force. We should be seeing Troy Calhoun and company down there as well. So
maybe
we get some trash talk. I doubt that happens, but I would love to see it.
Well, I was going to say, considering Carl Durrell and Coach Calhoun, I don't think either of them are the trash-talking type. Both of them are about as reserved and gentlemanly as you could possibly get. So I don't think it's going to happen. But, hey, we can hope, right?
I don't even think – I'm trying to think of all the coaches we cover and talk to now. I'm like, are there any trash-talkers anymore? I mean, I don't think we – they're all just good dudes, Mark. That's boring, man.
I know. So, you know, at least when Adazi was up there in Fort Collins every once in a while, he'd say something silly, you know. But
I got to tell you, Adazi was always pretty he was pretty defensive when it came to any media member. And I'd interviewed him a few times before. We were friends. We were friends, whatever. We were friendly on the air. So I'm interviewing him there. That was the first time I'd interviewed him in person, and I had my whole show shirt on. He stood across from me. I mean, he was like chewing his bottom lip, and I'm like, he looks like he's really upset. What's going on? The whole interview, he just keeps staring down at my logo on my shirt, back up at me. I seriously thought he might just lunge across the table and try to get me. I was like, I didn't do anything, man. I'm not the Coloradoan.
You know, I think everybody in Greeley would agree with me on this. You're a highly controversial and acerbic human being. And
true.
So you're nasty. I'm just going to tell you, you're downright nasty, and I think that was the issue.
I think it was. I think he sensed it. He thought I was bucking up to him and all of that, man. It was crazy. I have so much fun with that event, though. And Tad Boyle usually joins in, too. I mean, I know it's a football deal, but Tad's always there, so we'll try to catch up with him, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is about football coaches in general. I've always thought this. They're very different than basketball coaches. Football coaches are very very cautious. Let's put it that way. They're always that way. Basketball coaches in general are not nearly as cautious as football coaches are. I mean, you know, frequently football coaches, they act like they're guarding the nuclear codes. I mean, it really is interesting.
Doubt.
And I just want to say, listen, everybody's got tape. Everybody knows what you're doing. It's not like you're not splitting the atom here. You're running similar offensive concepts and defensive concepts to everybody else. And so let's just relax. But, you know, they get very, very cautious and very protective of things. So that might have been part of the issue with Coach Adazio back in the day.
Well, and there's so many times I've gone to a practice, and it's like you pull up the phone to take a picture or something, and then they're not in formation at all. You have a quarterback in shorts pitching the ball to a running back. There's no defense in front of him. He's just running, and you snap a picture. It's like, hey, no pictures in this period. I'm like, you don't want him to see the pitch, man? I mean, we know know it could happen. It could happen to any team.
Not allowed. We're going to keep it. It's all nuclear code secrets. It's national security's on the line. If we let you know that our quarterback is not 6'4", he's 6'3½" or whatever. I mean, I just chuckle at it all the time. You know, I said years ago, and I won't name the coach. Years ago, I was doing a show with a coach, and it was one of those like all programs do, where you're out at a restaurant someplace, there's, you know, a few hundred people in there. And I looked at him, and he was getting kind of serious. I kind of chuckled. I said, well, here's the good news. We're not curing cancer here, all right? We're just talking about a game. And so, you know, there's no life and death. And, boy, did he get mad at me. Oh, my goodness. I go to a commercial break, and he takes his headphones off. And it was kind of a scene in the restaurant. He leans across the table and starts barking at me like crazy.
About
how I'm dissing his business. And I'm like, hey, I need to relax here, okay? Right?
Wow.
We're playing a game. But there are some of those coaches that take this stuff very, which they should. You should be competitive. But guess what? I'll bring up a prime example, and everyone up there loves him. Tad Boyle is as competitive as anybody I've ever been around. But Tad's got at least a common sense, shall we say, perspective on things and understanding that, you know, not everything's life and death, and there are things more serious than the game. But yet, when he gets into court, I mean, he's one of those guys that'll cut your heart out because he's so darn competitive. So that's kind of a refreshing on occasion. But not all of them have that same perspective, if you will.
Or you could be like a former Rockies general manager and compare your job to being a brain surgeon or something.
I love it. When we hear sports figures, and you probably saw what. Help me out. AB, number 84 in the NFL.
Antonio Brown?
Brown.
Yes.
Yes. What he just said last week about, you know, more impressive watching him play than Jesus performing at Red Rock. And here's the whole thing about it. That's what I'm talking about. People in sports sometimes get so insulated, they lose track of reality. And they really believe that every move they make, that the world is just sitting and waiting to hear their thoughts and see what their actions are. And so that frequently happens in sports, and it's a little disappointing, a little disheartening that you know, we can't have people that have a little better perspective than that.
It's insane to me, no question. And Brown certainly takes the cake, but it's you know what? It gives us stuff to talk about. I will miss, since we brought him up anyway, I will miss Steve Addazio, because there was always something fun to talk about with that guy.
Sure.
So I will miss it for sure. Jay Norvell's great, but it's all positive stuff. Carl Durrell, I mean, that's all well and good, but once in a while, Mark, we need sound bites, man. We need something that's going to get us going.
Okay. Yeah, CSU had Steve Addazio. The Buffaloes had Dan Hawkins for a few years, right? You know,
yeah.
And Tanner Merrill's brother, remember that whole deal? And so, all right, I got to be honest with you. Coaches like that make it more interesting because they will say things. You know, you should always have a number of unspoken thoughts, right? If you're a normal human being and you're able to do any form of editing at all, you should have unspoken thoughts on occasion. There are some coaches, though, that can't do that. They don't have unspoken thoughts because everything just rolls right out of their brain, right out of their mouth. And it makes it kind of fun for those of us in the business.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it entertaining for the fans that love to, you know, listen and read and watch that stuff. But it is a little destructive internally.
Yeah. No, you're right. And there's good and bad. There's positives, negatives you can take with all sides of it. Mark, my man, always love our conversation. You never know where they're going to go, but I absolutely love them, and I appreciate you so much. And we're getting closer to September 2nd when the Buffs take on TCU, so I'll be excited to start breaking into some game talk with you.
I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing you next week down at the huddle, and also I'm going to hold you to that lunch or something at Cable.
Let's make it happen, my friend. Anytime. You just let me know. All right, man.
All right, see you both.
There he is, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Okay, we once had, Angel, we once had a high school football coach. Speaking of unfiltered and saying what's on your mind, Clark, what were we doing? Clark and I were together. Clark, I think, was in my show for a moment, was on my show, and we interviewed a high school football coach, and we talked about, you know, what kind of steps are you taking to make sure kids don't get hurt and all the it was right when all the big concussion stuff was just really exploding, and we were talking at it at every level and what coaches are doing. And this coach kind of chuckled and said on the air, seriously, said, I think a lot of stuff's overblown. Bottom line, you can't get hurt playing this game. It's just a fun – it's fun. And you just, like, don't tell that to Buck Coors up north, man. I mean, these guys can get hurt. Oh, but Buck's a great guy. I mean, it does happen, though. Injuries happen. Buck is a great dude. I actually was messaging with him back and forth last night. And he's saying everything, you know, that you'd want somebody to say in his position. But, it's just crazy. We don't want the Steve Addazios, but we do, right? Like, radio guys?
You want the quotes.
Yes.
You want the funny moments.
But you don't want the actual coaching.
And success.
He had some of the best ones, though, didn't he? Like, we're this close. It's like
brick by brick.
Brick by brick. I love that he just... Kevin Lytle's coming on. He's one of my good friends, man. We've become great friends. He's a great guy. I just love that he hated Kevin so much. It was so fun.
Coach, are you worried about losing the locker room?
You worried about guys hanging? He didn't even ask that. He said, are you worried about guys hanging their head after losing whatever? I don't even remember what they started. And Addazio just lost his crap, and he's like, we're not going to, nobody's quitting. Ah. I was like, whoa, doth protest too much. 12:51 the time. We're going to take a quick break. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. Having some fun on a Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Take it from a guy that played the game. Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard, weekdays after the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Seven minutes till the top of the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text lines, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. All right, Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. It would be considered a fail. People are having a lot of issues with the word failed. Angel, I mean, just they don't like the term, I guess, but I mean, come on, it's this isn't the kiddie pool here. Susan and Cheryl smoking all those cigarettes, making your voices so deep. We got 95 Ram fans says it would be disappointing to not win six games, but not a failure. Winning record and bowl game are essentially the same. Not really. Seven.
You get to a bowl game, you want to win that game.
That's true, I suppose. But there's a pretty significant difference between six and seven wins. You know, when you look at the Rams' schedule.
You get into the bowl game, you win.
Okay.
Seven.
I don't know why, but mentally I don't check. I just don't. I know seven and six is what we said Bobo was all those years. I just don't mentally count the bowl game as a part of the record. I don't know. I don't.
Fair.
Getting to the bowl game is great, but other than the playoffs, I don't care about the bowl games. I mean, I like conference championship weekend. I like earning a trip to a bowl game. Okay, you're a bowl team. Great. Good for you. And then that's pretty much it. I'll watch my local teams and stuff, but a lot of those extra bowls, I'm not really getting into.
I like bowl season just because it's something to watch. Obviously, I'm more used to watching the playoff year in, year out.
You get like the good stuff. Being a Bama fan,
spoiled.
You get the good stuff. That's the good stuff. You know, CSU wins and they're in the potato Idaho Potato Bowl.
It's a very respectable bowl.
Yes, it is. It is very respectable. All right, so when we come back, I want to get into this. We got today in the NFL, but we started this discussion about the bubble, the NBA bubble. George Karl, former Denver Nuggets coach, the sixth winningest head coach of all time. He actually
personal friend of yours.
He's probably best friends. I actually do have his number. I could shoot him a text right now. 30% chance that he.
Hey, George. That how you doing,
George? George, I'd love to get the bubble take because he basically retweeted a Lakers picture and said bubble ball doesn't count. So. I get it.
He is George Karl.
He's George Karl. If George Karl says it, I agree. If bubble ball doesn't count, then what the Nuggets did that no other team in the history of the NBA did also doesn't count, right? They're the only team to ever come back from 2-3-1 deficits. And yet, if bubble ball doesn't count, that historic mark has an asterisk by it as well, which is sad. But I tend to agree. I actually think that it was miraculous. It was wonderful. But the home court thing is a real thing. This is why home court advantage is big. We always talk about series doesn't start till somebody wins a game on the road. It's just so hard to win in somebody else's gym with somebody else's fans. You didn't have any of that to deal with. You just had no pressure basketball. And maybe the Nuggets felt less pressure than the Clippers and the Jazz. All right, that's going to do it for this hour. Final hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.